This evening I have with us an old friend, Dr. Tom Dorman, and I've known Tom, well, at least 20 years. He is a board-certified internist, but he is, of course, also involved with, you might call it alternative medicine. He has treatments for back pain and for many things that are really different than other doctors. He's done a great deal of studying and traveling. He's known throughout the world as an expert on prolotherapy. And I'm going to let Tom tell you a little bit about some of the things that he does. Now, he has offices. He used to be up in Seattle. Where are your offices now, Tom? Whereabouts are you? Are you located?
A small city called Federal Way, which is really a bedroom community just south of Seattle.
All right, fine. Why don't you explain to our listeners what prolotherapy is?
Well, very briefly, Stanley, it is a form of injection technique into ligaments, which provokes the cells of the ligaments into multiplying and laying down new collagen. Collagen is the molecular level strings which make up the substance of the ligaments. The ligaments become stronger and have more elasticity. It is strength and elasticity of the ligaments in the body which holds us together, in simple terms. So we have more stability and strength in the mechanics of our body.
And, of course, basically what involves is injecting a sclerosing substance into the areas around the various joints in the back and, of course, into ligaments elsewhere in the body. It's a very, very specialized type of treatment. There are not very many doctors that do it, and yet it's recognized. There have been articles, certainly in prestigious journals, explaining the fact that sometimes this can be used to treat pain, back pain, and other pains that nothing else really will help. Is that true?
Yes. You know, back pain is perhaps the most common malady afflicting Americans. The statistics are that 80% of adult Americans will have at least one severe incapacitating episode of back pain in their lives. NIH spends lots of money on diseases which occurs to us past the retirement age, cancers, vascular disease, and of course AIDS. Virtually nothing is spent on research of ligament injuries. Ligament injuries are the dominant cause for pains in the moving parts because they are the structures which regulate the moving parts. Ligaments, joint capsules, and fascia constitute the three main structures made out of collagen, and it's probably failure of collagen, which is quite typical of the modern world, which is the underlying cause. Now, it's possible to provoke repair of these ligaments if there's been an injury. And the majority of people who come in with back pain, whiplash injuries, knee injuries, etc., report a pain and report an injury. And the pain comes sometime after the after the injury. I'll give you a familiar example. Everyone played football or something on a playing field and sprained their ankle. They finish the game, and late that night, they have a severe pain and swelling. Well, the typical phenomenon in the ligament is that the pain comes on later.
Right, and so basically, of course, where the sprain is actually a damage to the ligament, it gets inflamed, and but most of them get better with the passage of time, don't they?
Well, very many injuries get better on their own. That there is a proportion which don't.
And, of course, those are the ones where the prolotherapy and types of this therapy can be advantageous. These are patients that have exhausted traditional therapy, and finally they end up going to a specialist like Tom. We'll be right back in just a moment.
I thought that's what the music was about.
All right, fine. Well, that was just to take us to the break. Actually, we lose some of our stations, although our internet listeners and certainly can hear what we're saying, but our regular stations will not hear for the next 3 minutes. So that's just the way that the program is structured. We have a few advertisements, if we need that just to keep on going to pay the bills, as it were. At least it helps part of the way. So anyway, Tom, so you've been doing this for how long, prolotherapy?
Oh, I started in the late 70s.
Right, and so I'm sure we I met you probably about that time, but certainly we came down and visited you in the early 80s, and although I never have done it myself, I have other friends, and it really seems to help some of the people with sacroiliac problems, doesn't it?
Well, the largest ligaments in the body are the posterior sacroiliac ligaments. It is not surprising that when there is injury there, there is a major dysfunction in the body's mechanics. Now, the osteopaths have known ever since Andrew Still started osteopathy about 120 years ago, that alignment of the skeletal parts is essential for normal function. But the osteopath's focus was on the skeletal parts, the part you can feel. The ligaments, of course, are soft, and although they're essential in holding the alignment, they were not the focus, partly because you can't really see them, partly because in a skeletal example, a person who has been dead and been in a grave for a long time, only the bones are left. And of course, x-rays are the great deceiver, because they show the bony parts, but not the ligaments which govern their alignment. So typically, the medical profession is focused on these bones, which have been recognized with x-rays ever since Röntgen discovered radiology in 1895 or thereabout. And we have neglected ligaments. Ligaments don't have what you might casually refer to as a sex appeal. Nobody dies from ligament disease. They're not dramatic. So they're neglected. And the modern dissecting rooms in the universities, it's a great tragedy that the prosectors remove the ligaments so the student can get to see the meat, the essential parts, very quickly and easily, such as nerves, arteries, veins, muscles and bones, but the ligaments which are so important in injuries are removed, and the poor medical student, particularly in America, never gets a focus on these structures. Ligaments constitute 6% of our bodies, and for good reason, because they represent the binds which hold the body together.
So well, that will be right back with Dr. Tom Torman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Dr. Tom Dorman. One of the biggest problems facing America today is chronic back pain. I know I was an orthopedic surgeon. I dealt with chronic back pain for many years, and certainly I helped many, many people with it. Of course, traditional therapy, traditional surgery, but also there were certain people who would benefit from mobilization of the joints. And, of course, but they would have to go back again and again. One of the big problems with sacroiliac, orthopedists do not recognize problems with the sacroiliac joint. I mean, you can't see it. You see the patient come in, they seem to have an altered stature, they're leaning to one side. And, of course, there's certain things that osteopaths and chiropractors can do. And they can almost instantaneously cure this. In other words, mobilization many times. But the trouble is it will come back again and again and be really quite disabling. And actually, back pain is one of the major causes of disability in America today. In fact, it is the largest cause of disability for the workmen's compensation boards all throughout the nation, and so many people are chronically disabled because of back pain, and they go from doctor to doctor, and the doctors do the best they can. I know I always did the best I could, and there are various modalities that you can use in the way of therapy and mobilization and manipulation, which certainly doctors are not good at, but osteopaths and chiropractors are. But then, of course, when they get to the end of the rope, I mean, where do they go? Nobody seems to be able to help them. And that's where something like Tom Dorman, training he has had, he has been trained by some of the world's leading prolotherapists of actually injecting a sclerosing solution into these ligaments to tighten them down and restore the stability that's been lost. Would that be a fair appraisal, Tom?
Stan, the last thing in the world I want to do is contradict you, but we really don't refer to them as scar-forming or sclerosing agents anymore.
We used to. So what do we refer to them now?
You know, it is true that this form of therapy did arrive originally from the scar makers, the hernia repair people from Valpo in Paris, 1837, used a sclerosing agent, scarring agents, to repair hernias before the advent of aseptic surgery. And in 1936, Earl Gedney, an osteopath from Philadelphia, adapted this technique for an unstable sacroiliac joint, and he called it scar therapy. But then came George Hackett, round about the 1950s, who was a MD surgeon, and he said, we don't want to make scars in our patients. We want to provoke regrowth of normal tissue.
Now, there's proliferation of collagen. Would that be right?
Yes, and hence the word prolotherapy, which is a word George Hackett coined. And he demonstrated in tendo-Achilles of rabbits that indeed that's what he achieved. So it's been called prolotherapy ever since. George Hackett, I never knew him, but he's said to have been a maverick of a man, and he became unpopular with the medical establishment. Some of my colleagues and I arrived on the scene circa early 80s, and we were very impressed with the experience we were having of helping patients with this somewhat bizarre technique, and decided to study it in a systematic order. And in the early 80s, Bob Klein, Bjorn Eck, Bob Ungley, and I performed a controlled prospective interventional study of these treatments. But I need to emphasize that this is not a treatment for back pain. It is a treatment for ligament injuries causing pain. Not all back pain arises in ligaments. Of course, the most foolish thing you could do is treat the ligaments when a person has, say, prostate cancer in his bone. So it's critically important to make an accurate diagnosis.
Now, because the patients you were getting were sort of those that had been to all sorts of other doctors beforehand. Wasn't that pretty much what you get?
Yes. The study we conducted, the patients had an average duration of 10 years of pain unresolved. And in fact, in the practice I'm in now, this is a typical scenario. Nobody comes to me off the street. The most important reason is that I don't deal with insurance companies. And it becomes a circular argument because insurance companies take their cues from the medical establishment. The medical establishment believes that prolotherapy is not an effective form of treatment because the insurance companies don't verify it, and here we go in a roundabout. And in fact, it does work. It's very effective, and the concept's embarrassingly simple. Your listeners will have no difficulty in understanding that if the strings which hold two sticks together are loose, you tighten the string. The concept is quite as simple as that. But we discovered that it's not merely creating a scar. Scars, as you well know, Stanley, tend to rupture. Prolotherapy provokes hypertrophy, true growth of the tissues in a natural form. And I use this analogy to convey the concept. If you go skiing, you put the skis on the roof of your car. And how do you bind them to the car? With a rubber band. No, with a bungee cord. And what's the difference between a rubber band and a bungee cord? It's merely the quantity of rubber. But the quality, the Young's modulus, elasticity of the rubber is exactly the same. And by the same token, thicker ligaments function better, that they don't lose their elasticity. And in fact, it turns out, and I think I can reasonably take credit for having made this discovery, that ligaments aren't only binding structures, they're actually devices for storing elastic energy. And a whole lot of research emerged from this business of using prolotherapy in people's low back when we started asking why and what are the mechanics. And a number of concepts emerged from this research, which are really very interesting. When I went to medical school, the pelvis was said to be a fixed ring. I remember Professor McMillan telling me, don't worry about it. It doesn't move. You don't need to know the details. Well, that's not true. With every step we take, the iliac bone slides a little bit fore and aft at a diagonal. And the opposite iliac bone moves the opposite way. It's like a clockwork. And that clockwork is the mechanism which governs the penduli, the penduli of the legs and the arms. And the energy of locomotion, of walking, is stored back into the walking machine, your body, just as in the grandfather clock. And all that came to light when we started analyzing the question, why does the therapy in strengthening the ligaments indeed make people better? And another interesting observation which contradicts the sclerotherapy perspective is that Bob Klein demonstrated that these people have an increased range of movement. after prolotherapy, not what you would have thought from scarring them down.
All right, fine. Well, of course, what are the actual overall results? Now, these are people that have certainly been certainly abandoned by everybody because nobody can help them. They have chronic pain, and they have this chronic back discomfort. They really can't return to work. What percentage of the really chronic people, that are totally disabled, are you able to help with this? Are there any statistics overall?
Only at least 90%. And I mean literally 9 out of 10. And we know that from 2 prospective controlled studies, and we know that from multiple surveys. And one of the interesting things in this context is that when we did a controlled study in California in 1985, there were a few failures. And I was particularly focused on the failures, and it turned out that they fall into 2 main categories. One, we made a wrong diagnosis. There was one poor man who had prostate cancer. Needless to say, we didn't help him. But the other person was most interesting. He was a strong young man with huge muscles, and he had a lot of back pain, and we did him no good at all. And he was in the treatment group. But when I treated him again sometime later, he was completely cured quickly and easily. What was the difference between the 2 occasions? And the answer turned out to be that he'd got married and his wife was a good cook. Previously, he'd been a house painter and they exposed to inhaled toxins, and he ate hamburger-type food. And once he changed his diet, he had the wherewithal to build collagen. And from that comes a concept that really I am ashamed to say I didn't think of before. That if you fertilize the grass but don't water it, you don't get any grass. If you put proliferant in this ligament and the body doesn't have the nutrient capacity to make new protein, you don't get collagen. So when what I do in my practice now is really take a holistic look at people with problems and try and look at the whole scenario and resolve it. And you know, Stan, I've come to the thought that in recent past my medical colleagues suffer from what I call Occam's razor disease. You remember that William of Occam in 1400 or thereabout was an English philosopher who held the belief that if there's more than one solution to a problem, the simplest one is correct. Well, I think that what happens in modern medicine when the doctors are harried, they've only got a few minutes with the patient, is they adopt this simple approach. One symptom, one illness, one prescription, out the door. And most of the patients who come to me have multiple interacting problems. They're very real and they're curable. You just need to take the time and analyze the whole scenario. And ever so often, it's a combination of biochemical deficits, nutritional deficits, and a mechanical illness, such as a strain of the sacroiliac joint.
Well, of course, you really can't just treat the symptom. You have to treat the whole patient. And that was one of the things that I learned. And in fact, in many ways, Bex, I miss practicing medicine because, of course, you begin to take this more or less holistic approach. And I hate to use that term because it sounds like the New Age approach. And yet, of course, there's a great deal of truth to that because many of them emphasize the importance of diet and nutritional supplements. And so you need, of course, to utilize both traditional medicine. But there's a great deal of knowledge out there that you don't learn in medical school. You learn, you're practicing for many years, and by the time you really get to be pretty smart, well, then it's time to retire. We're going to be back in just a few minutes with Tom Dorman, Dr. Dorman. If you have a question, give us a call. Well, Tommy, and it's amazing how well some of the people have done, and I had the opportunity to see some of your patients when I was practicing, and you saw some patients for me who were really able to help them. And the great tragedy is there's so many people who are, just so miserable for so many years, and they go from doctor to doctor, and the doctors do the best they can. But this is not a technique that is, is certainly widely recognized or widely treated. And so basically there are relatively few doctors who really do use prolotherapy, aren't there?
Well, I estimate there are about 200 doctors who have a shingle saying prolotherapy, It's my opinion that the key thing is a correct diagnosis. And unfortunately, anyone with a license and a needle can practice prolotherapy, and there are lots of brief courses on this which are insufficient. Really, a person needs to understand anatomy, understand mechanics, understand the relationship, follow patterns of injury, recognize which of the ligaments are responsible for the dysfunction, and frequently they're not at the site of the pain. Now, Hackett was enormously advanced our understanding in the 50s when he taught that we should identify the site of the pain and tenderness and place the injections there. And there's no question that he contributed enormously to American well-being. But since then, we've come a long way, and we now understand the mechanics, particularly of the pelvis and of the cervical spine. And the issues are much more complex than simply injecting this sore place. And in that sense, I think that those of us who practice what I'll call the West Coast style of prolotherapy, or orthopedic medicine, as it should be called, because prolotherapy is only one tool in the armamentarium of the orthopedic physician. And you're an orthopedic surgeon, and you will understand how when Flexner reorganized medicine circa 1915, he created two specialties for each branch, a surgeon and a physician, except orthopedics. And I think the reason wasn't that Flexner was wicked in some way. I think that these injuries hardly ever occurred until the advent of the automobile. And now that we have so many people who have injuries to the axial skeleton, this has become an epidemic. Now, I also believe that the nutrition of people in Western civilization, and America in particular, has deteriorated during this time, and there is less collagen, and it's more prone to injury.
I think, you know, one of the necessary things for collagen is a certain amount of a good diet, contributing vitamin C, and probably you even need nutritional supplements. I'm not sure you can really get adequate vitamin C from a diet. Most of us are not going to eat that many, much in the way of fruits and things of that sort, or limes or whatever it would be. Do you prescribe nutritional supplements along with what you're doing?
Yes, but it's not, you know, when you and I practiced MD-type medicine, there's a certain illness, well, there's a prescription for it, and it's straightforward. We take a very much more sophisticated approach to the issue now. We run sophisticated laboratory studies. Well, I don't have the lab. We send the specimens to the lab. There are two first-class alternative medicine laboratories in America, both on the East Coast. We send the specimens there, and when we get the result, we analyze it by chemical weaknesses. You see, each of us has his bodily peculiarities. Some of us are blonde.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here with Tom Dorman. Well, this is Dr. Stan. My guest this evening is Dr. Thomas Dorman. I've known Tom for 20 years, and certainly when I was practicing, I would send occasional patients down to him for prolotherapy and, of course, the general analysis, and he really did an excellent job with them. But these were people that simply no one else could help. And certainly Tom's offices now are just south of Seattle. And Tom, would you like to get your telephone number out or your website or any other thing that you'd like to put out for our listeners?
Yes. The office telephone is 253-529-3050. I'll say that again, 253-529-3050. And we have a web page. But a lot of Americans have difficulty with it. So I'll tell you a short story about Paracelsus. Celsus, C-E-L-S-U-S, was a famous Roman physician at the end of the Roman era. And a very clever man came along and said that he doesn't want to practice stylized orthodox medicine where the prescription is given in the book and he never checks to see if the patient gets better. He didn't use the empiric method. And he said, I'm beyond Celsus, Paracelsus. So I called the clinic after this man, Paracelsus Clinic. So the webpage is paracelsusclinic.com. Now, we're located in Federal Way, just halfway between Tacoma and Seattle on the I-5, and very close to SeaTac Airport. I also do a newsletter which comes out every month, which I've done since April of 1989, and I discuss controversial subjects, many of which I've learned from Stan Montes. You have befriended me, and I've been eternally grateful to you for teaching me to understand what's going on in the world, because there's so much propaganda that clouds our attention that even when we try and pry beneath the surface, it's very difficult to work it out. And you were there ahead of me and had solved most of the problems. So I was so grateful for those conversations you had with me and answered my questions. The sleuth, the person who has the personality of a sleuth, and I must say that Dr. Monteith and I share that trait, are able to understand what goes on in the world and understand what goes on in the patient. It's the same analytic process. When I went to medical school, I was told that what you have to do is take a history of all the system and all write it all down and then analyze what's wrong with them. But when I watched my professors, that's not what they did. They got a lead like a dog and they followed it with their nose and proved or disproved the hypothesis and moved on if they were wrong. And that is how doctors function or should function. And what's required of us now by the bureaucrats is this impossibly comprehensive approach, which nobody has time or patience for, or attention to. But the doctor who follows his intelligence so often comes to the right conclusion, and through the research we did, we came to the conclusion that most back pain is due to mechanical dysfunction in the pelvis. And if you correct the mechanical dysfunction, as the chiropractor does, the patient is better. And if it doesn't hold, you strengthen the ligaments which hold it together. It's really so simple. Doctors have a habit of making things complicated in order to be important, and that's wrong. And that is what goes on in this world.
Well, I think that certainly there are many, many people who are helped by traditional medicine, but there are some who are not helped by traditional medicine, and that's why, of course, you need people who've looked at the other things and certainly had the courage to step out and say, this is not the way it should be. Now, certainly in traditional medicine, we're always told that the chiropractors really don't know much of anything, and they're quacks, and that they occasionally come across one who is, but I think most of them are people who are really trying to help people. And there would not be as many chiropractors out there if they weren't doing some good. And so I, certainly when I was practicing, I didn't hesitate to send patients to certain chiropractors who I felt were honest and, you know, would not take advantage of my patients and would get them better. And I always looked after them myself. In other words, I would have them come back to me just so I'd know what was going on. If the chiropractor didn't help them, we'd try something else. Or an osteopath who is trained in mobilization. And this is something the average doctor is never really experienced in. So, you know, sometimes it takes a long time to get to the point where you have to acknowledge you don't know everything. But, you know, as time goes by, you find that there are different modalities. And when you find somebody like Tom who can take people who just bend everybody else, they're almost derelicts, and they go from doctor to doctor to doctor, and nobody can help them, and everybody says, well, that guy's got to be crazy. I mean, he keeps complaining of back pain, and nobody can help him. And he's got, you know, after a while, he begins to get a very self-centered. He begins to dwell on his physical problems, but understandably so. We're going to be back in just a moment with Dr. Tom Dorman. We'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening, Dr. Tom Dorman, who I've known for many years, and we very often go to the same meetings, and we even have shared a room together many years ago when we went back to go through the papers at the Harold Pratt House in Washington, D.C., and that, of course, is the headquarters of the Council on Foreign Relations. But we're not going to get talking about politics tonight. We're going to be talking about medicine. If you're out there and you have a question, why, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But Tom, is there anything else we should talk about back pain? Or would you like to talk, or would you want to go off on some of the other things that really plague people, like, say, the chronic fatigue illness?
I would like to answer a question which none of your listeners has asked.
All right, fine. What's the question?
Doctor, what about the disc? I saw the famous orthopedic surgeon who took an MRI and told me I have two bulging discs, and that's why I have a pain in my back. Now, you can't take the discs away. How can you claim you're going to make me better? This is a typical scenario. Let's talk about this. It was Harry Farfan, who was a researcher in Montreal in the 80s, who demonstrated that if we put pressure on the discs and the vertebrae in the lumbar spine of a cadaver, nothing happens to the discs, and the end plates, the edge of the vertebrae, break down when the pressure increases over 250 kilograms or thereabouts. And only when he introduced torque to the system did the discs begin to disintegrate in a way that is familiar from living people. And herein lies the key to understanding this paradox. And what is a disc? A disc is a ball of ligament in which which is filled in the center with a jelly. If you torque the disc, then the fibers rupture. Then the contents leaks out, and then you have the disc story. Dreadful pain down the leg from pressure of a fragment of the disc on the nerve root. That truly is a surgical condition. And I sometimes make the paradoxical, slightly silly claim that my surgical results are better than any surgeon's. By which I mean that if I select the patient, say that this person truly needs an operation, he will get well. While the trouble with surgery is not the quality of the operation, not the skill of the surgeon, not the beauty of the modern technology, it is the selection of the patient. The surgeon is not trained to think in terms of medical treatment. Therefore, he does his best.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment with our good friend Tom Dorman. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Tom was just saying, talking about the discs, and certainly discs can herniate, and the nucleus can leak out and, of course, produce terrible pain. And if you have the proper patient with proper symptoms, why, of course, neurological findings, and we won't go into how you make the diagnosis, but then you verify it with an MRI, and certainly you get excellent results. The problem is that a lot of people may have a bulging disc, but they don't necessarily have their pain coming from the bulging disc. Because just because you have a back that looks terrible, and you have all sorts of bulging discs and osteophytes, and, well, I will tell you, of course, you should see my back. I mean, on x-ray it looks terrible, but I really don't have any pain from it, and I feel very, very fortunate. But you have to make the diagnosis. It doesn't matter what the x-ray says. It doesn't matter what the CT scan or the MRI say. It is really, of course, evaluation of the patient. And that's why sometimes a doctor who is not involved in surgery can make the surgical diagnosis better than the doctor who is involved in surgery. And, of course, Tom, you refer the patient then to specific doctors for the surgical procedure?
Absolutely. I'm very fond of surgery for the patients who benefit from it. I'm not opposed to modern medicine or surgery by any means, but what I am claiming is that the majority of back pain is caused from sprained ligaments, and the skilled physician can make the diagnosis clinically. Now, when I went to medical school, you took a history, you examined patients, and of course, in the case of back pain, you look at a pain diagram. These are the tools of the clinician, and if you recognize the patterns of illness which occur from dysfunction in the back, all the illnesses fall into these patterns. And I can look at a pain diagram and I've got 85% of the diagnosis because the patterns are repetitive. And the terrible tragedy is that our orthopedic surgeons are trained very well in surgery and not at all in diagnosis of mechanical problems in the back. And of course the incentive through the pharmaceutical commercial interest and the hospital commercial interest is to emphasize the treatments which lead to the use of drugs and surgery and not emphasize those treatments which lead to the skilled use of very low-tech technology, a syringe and a needle, really. and a pair of hands to help the patient. And I think that one of the tragedies of medicine in general, and this issue is just emblematic of this tragedy, is that medicine has been corrupted through the money engine of the pharmacy and hospital interests and sometimes the university interests. And the whole direction of research, we speak of research fronts, has moved away from the common sense rational. And it isn't simply a matter of giving a fellow a few pills and herbs in a nice, friendly, holistic way. It's truly based on rational, logical, precise science which can be defined and verified. But a lot of it is clinical. You have to know what you're doing as a clinician. And another tragedy that's happening to us nowadays is that the insurance clerk makes a determination about payment. And the poor doctor doesn't get payment unless there's a ticket from a radiologist or lab person saying there's an abnormality. But the abnormality in the disc is probably, not always, is probably irrelevant to the cause of the pain. And the MRI should never have been taken absent of clinical diagnosis. I hear so often from my patients, I've seen 7 doctors before I came to you. Nobody's examined me. They just looked at my pictures. This is normal, Stanley. That drives me absolutely angry.
I know. Well, of course, the thing is that there's so many pressures on the doctors today, but there is no substitute for getting your hands onto the patient. That is really the key to it. And talking to the patient and watching the patient move and having them bend over and see the mechanics of the back. But I fear that that may be sort of an art that's gone by the wayside along with the dinosaur. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we've got Dan calling from Spokane. Hi, Dan. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you, Doctor, for having this show, because I've just recently hurt my back, and I'm very interested in this. And I'm into chiropractors, and they're doing some good, you know. But the whole deal here is kind of new to me, and I heard you talking about discs, and I want to know, I'm in my 50s, how much of this, I understand that you, with this therapy, you can increase the elasticity of these discs.
No, the elasticity of the ligaments, not the disc.
Well, they're two different, entirely different?
Absolutely entirely different. I mean, your pain can come, most back pain comes from the muscles, or a lot of it comes from the muscles, but if they go into spasm because of the problem with the disc or the bone or the ligaments or the nerve. And so there are many causes for back pain. You just have to make the right diagnosis. But Tom, how would you respond to Dan?
Well, I would say, without seeing him, that I can't make a diagnosis.
Of course not.
First of all. Secondly, that the majority of patients with his story have ligament injuries, and the ligaments are the source of the pain. Give the example of the ankle sprain that hurts sometime after the game, and the back pain hurts sometime after the injury. And what provokes his pain? Probably prolonged sitting, or at least staying in one position for a long time. Many of these poor people go to the workman compensation bureaus, and the doctors ask, how many times can you lift 5 or 10 pounds, which is irrelevant to his condition. The thing he can't do is sit more than 20 minutes without being in agony. And the reason for that is the malalignment of the sacrum between the iliac bone puts a strain on the injured ligament, which provokes pain. Can some pain arrive from the muscles? Yes. Can some pain arrive from the disc and the dura? Yes, but the majority comes from the ligaments. And the way to work it out is by clinical examination. What I need to emphasize is that to train an orthopedic physician like myself, how to make a diagnosis takes a long time. Most doctors think that the relationship of an illness is what we call stoichiometric. One symptom, one illness, one pill. And in orthopedic medicine, it's complex, but logical and precise. And it's possible to make accurate diagnosis of ligament injuries, which ligament, and how to treat it by skill in learning orthopedic medicine. And one of the tragedies that goes back, as I said, to Abraham Flexner, that this branch of medicine has been completely neglected, with the exception of a few of us who've dedicated our lives to it.
And, of course, I remember reading Hackett's work, when I was practicing orthopedics. And he was, wasn't he a general surgeon rather than, seems to me, he was the last person you'd expect to be treating back aches. But he did, and he dedicated his life to that. Once he found he could actually help these people who were sort of going from doctor to doctor and nobody could help them. Dan, are you getting better?
You know, I am getting better, and thank God for that. But it's a new thing in my life. I've always had a strong back, and I've always I've bragged about it. Now I'm getting older, and I guess you get kind of prone to this stuff. But I know that these new therapies are probably going to help us old guys. As time goes by. Yeah, my back is getting better.
All right, so that's the important thing. Are you doing exercises and other things to strengthen your back?
I am doing a lot of exercises, and a physician here in town gave me a list of exercises to do, and that has helped a lot. And it's taken months, but it is genuinely getting better. However, I'd like it to be completely cured. You know what I'm saying? I'd like to find something that would help.
How long have you been disabled with it?
Well, I'm not actually disabled. I just had a hard time getting around. But, I tell you, the pain that comes with a back injury is something you can't understand until you've experienced it.
I know. I've experienced it. In fact, I've had my my disc out, and I've had several episodes. So I can sympathize with you, and I think every orthopedic surgeon should have that experience so we can sympathize with the people who are miserable. Anything else you'd like to ask, Dan?
I just want to say this is I enjoy your show a lot, and these guests that you get on here are just great. I appreciate your show, and thank you both, you doctors, for your hard work.
Thanks very much, Dan. Bye bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. Well, the telephone number is 1-888-24 Liberty. That's 1-888-24 Liberty or 464-8295. And of course, I've known Tom. At least well over 20, probably closer to 25 years, and I always admired the work he was doing from afar. As a trained internist, this is a long way from the practice of internal medicine, but it's an important thing because Tom is doing something that very, very few people are trained to do, and this is not something you certainly want to be going to somebody who is not adequately trained. It takes many years. How long? You actually worked with somebody doing this for many years, didn't you, for some
yes,
time?
Yes, I apprenticed with a great inventor of these techniques, M.J. Ongley, who practiced under the supervision of Bjorn Eck in Newport Beach for many years. And I used to go down there for 3 days every 2 weeks and see what I could learn, take notes, follow the cases, and then come back to my practice and gradually introduce the methods I was learning. And, of course, at that time I was a tyro. Now, this is not the ideal way to learn this. The ideal way is to have a residency. But that doesn't exist. And I have tried to introduce patients, their doctors, to this, but there's a very major difficulty. It's not payable by the insurance companies. Which young doctor wants to go into business where he'll have no income?
Well, of course, the thing is that if you have a skill that nobody else does, desperate people will come to you.
That's how I make a living. But the fact is that most Americans are brainwashed, not only about the New World Order, not only about the corruption in all sorts of places, but also about the corruption in medicine, and they believe their doctors. You know, we spoke earlier a little bit, or hinted earlier a little bit about quackery. I want to say something about quackery. There are quacks amongst the naturopaths and the chiropractors and all these alternative professions. But what about the doctors who fail to make a diagnosis and prescribe medicine because they read about it or heard about it from the salesman and do new operations which are unnecessary because that's become the fashion and it's productive and it's economically beneficial. You know, in 1982, I surveyed, as an internist, people with shoulder pain come to the internist. And I surveyed 100 consecutive shoulders in my practice with an average of 2.5 injections for perhaps $50. We cured 95% of these people. And now if you go to the operating room, a quarter of the list has got arthroscopic surgery for a torn rotator cuff injuries. Has this rotator cuff injury arrived because of the arrival of the arthroscope? Yes, it has. What, there are so many illnesses which has arrived because of the technology. And people put up with a year of convalescence from these operations when a couple of injections can usually take care of them. And the rotator cuff is not torn. There's a sprain of the ligament. How do I know? Because if I put a little bit of proliferant in there, the people are cured. And time and again, I see people who have been seen by the surgeon, who've got their surgery scheduled, and they just come to me for perhaps it'll work. And for change, and compared to the amount of money involved, we cure these people. I think it's quackery to perform surgery on people when there's a simple method. It's quackery to stop people's stomachs from making acid because they're deficient in gastric acid, and a little bit of betaine hydrochloride will cure them. We see this across the board in every branch of medicine, of standard medicine. These are the quacks, and that really boils my blood.
Well, but the thing is, of course, most of the doctors have never heard of these alternative techniques or alternative approaches. Most doctors do not recognize chronic fatigue syndrome because, well, organized medicine doesn't recognize it. And when, I can remember when I was a young doctor in this town, we had a doctor who was a practicing nutritional medicine. And everybody belittled him and laughed at him and made jokes about him. And yet I think, looking back, some of the things he was advocating were really very advanced, and I'm sure he was helping many of his patients, and really, of course, trying to get them to change their diet and to give up certainly milk and sugar and getting them onto vitamins and things of that sort. And but as a physician, if everybody else thinks it's wrong, why, of course, I had to think it was wrong, too. It's only after you've been around for a long period of time that you can begin to question the wisdom of everybody else, and as you get to be a senior doctor in the community, why, you really get to have a much different view, and you realize that we don't have the answers to everything, and sometimes you better start listening to other people.
Well, and also in modern times, the sophistication in understanding the abnormal and variable biochemistry between individuals has developed enormously. The Genome Project, for instance, has allowed us to understand how extraordinarily variable the population is in a genetic sense, and their biochemistry is different. So the person who may use very small amounts of a certain nutrient satisfactorily, his brother may require 100 times the dose in order to maintain the same level of health. So the level of sophistication in understanding the biochemical aspect of nutrition has zoomed enormously since you and I were young doctors. And I think that is, to a large extent, an explanation or justification for the errors we made in the past. But they're not a justification now, because the knowledge is available.
But I think the average person is not getting it. I don't think I go to the medical meetings at our local hospital, and I can't ever remember hearing a talk simply on nutrition and the importance of nutritional supplements or so many of the things that you and I would talk about. We're both getting to be rather old physicians at the present time.
Well, anger is at the committees which organize the meetings, at the hospital management which look for subsidies from the pharmacy and from Johnson & Johnson and such like companies which supply them, rather than being responsible. And the horror of it is that medicine has been taken over by bureaucrats in the insurance business, the pharmacy business, who do not take the Hippocratic Oath. It is you who stood in front of the California Medical Association and demanded that they reaffirm the Hippocratic Oath, and they refused. And that is emblematic of the quackery which is spreading amongst our profession. I sometimes, it says in the Hippocratic Oath that you will share your knowledge with your peers, but with no one else. And I frequently wonder, why no one else? Why are we secretive about it? The answer is because these managers are not dedicated physicians. They have another agenda.
Tom, before we get off this, I want you to get your website and your telephone number out one more time.
My website is paracelsusclinic.com.
Paracelsus.
And if you can't make it, just put my name, Thomas Dorman, on a Google search and it'll come up.
All right, your telephone number.
253-529-7000. 3050.
All right, fine. And we're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up this program here. Our guest this evening has been Dr. Thomas Dorman. And I thought we'd just talk a little bit about back pain. It was certainly something I was fascinated with in all the years that I practiced medicine. Hang on there, Tom. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, Tom, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. Well, perhaps I should say that ligaments are ubiquitous in the body. Whiplash injuries are a fascinating, paradoxical illness, whereby the vehicle struck from behind causes an injury to the back of the neck. On first pass, you'd think it's the front of the neck, but in fact, it's always the back of the neck. And the reason is complex, and in 3 minutes, I can't cover it. You'll find an article about this on my webpage. But the fact remains that the trial lawyers, the accident reconstruction engineers, the insurance business makes a liar out of every American who happens to be rear-ended in traffic, because the injury to the vehicle is usually not severe, and they say the force wasn't severe to damage the neck. So all these Americans are now suddenly crooks malingering. Of course they're not. There is a very good physiological reason for their injury, and it's manageable with prolotherapy and curative. And the same is true for injuries to the knee, the ankle, the shoulders, any moving part in the body. And I think that if your listeners want to take a message away, is that if they have pain from a moving part, go and find a doctor who understands body mechanics and prolotherapy. And one place to begin looking is on my website. But beware, because many of these doctors use Hackett's method, which is merely treating the site of the pain and not analyzing the mechanics.
All right, fine. Do you actually have a list of some doctors in various parts of the country that do this sort of therapy?
I don't have a perfect list. I did make a list of people who practice prolotherapy, and you'll find it on my website. But I have nowhere sorting the sheep from the goats.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I'm sure you've been at it for a long time. There are not very many people have been at this. We're talking really about 27, 28 years, somewhere there?
Yes.
And so Tom is really very skilled. I've actually gone to his office and spent a couple of days with him and really, of course, learned a great deal about it and saw the grateful patients that had gone from doctor to doctor to doctor and then had benefited from this very unique form of therapy, but I would, of course, warn you, you don't want to go to somebody who hasn't done this a lot of times because, of course, it takes a great deal of skill, a great knowledge of anatomy, and a great deal of understanding, of course, of how this can be done, how can it be done safely, because you certainly want to be sticking needles down there unless you know the anatomy like the back of your hand. Well, Tom, thanks so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Stanley.
Good night. God bless, and please keep in touch.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine. Well, that was Dr. Tom Dorman, and we'll be back in a moment to wrap up the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope that you enjoyed the program this evening. It's a little different, but I ran into Tom at a meeting recently up in Portland, and I thought that as long as we had some listeners in the area where he's practicing, why, we'd have him come on. I think he's an honest, ethical man, and a physician, and he's given up a great deal to do what he thinks will help people. It's a lot easier simply to play by the system and go right along, but when you have a treatment that really will help people, why, you have an obligation as a physician to utilize that, and I believe there's a very real place for prolotherapy. I studied this extensively when I was practicing. Of course, I was a surgeon. But I will tell you that there are alternatives to surgery, and the older I got, the more loath I was to do surgery. Surgery is great. There's lots of places for it, but many times with conservative treatment, you can actually help people, and they get better, and they go back to work, and that's the important thing. So anyway, this is, of course, the time when I have to comment that this program and all of my programs are primarily listener-supported. We're really dependent upon those people who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every single working day. And then, of course, on the weekends, we have a program that's heard by about 30 stations. Only half an hour, but We actually reach large audiences in the major markets on the West Coast and across America with that half-hour program. So if you believe that we have an important message, why, we hope that many of you will seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And to do that, you call us at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. We are carrying a great new book. It's called Hostage to the Devil. Hostage to the Devil. It's written by a Jesuit, a priest who I came to know, Father Malachi Martin. We have a four-tape set with Father Malachi called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And then, of course, we carry his book, Hostage to the Devil. First encountered it back in 1980. Didn't even know who Malachi was, but had a skull and on the cover of the book, and it got my attention. It's a story of five exorcisms that were cataloged and documented by the Catholic Church. I will tell you that you will never look at the world through the same eyes again after reading that book, and you will begin to get some inkling of what we're really talking about as we begin discussing the spiritual hierarchy that rules the world. And there really is another dimension. There really is a spiritual hierarchy. There really are UFOs, but of course they come from the metaphysical realm, from the other dimension. And I often tell the story about the witch who sent me the email saying, you know, how dare you say bad things about witches? Why, we're just nice people who are trying to use our spells and our rituals to contact people from the other dimension. Let me suggest, of course, you get the book Hostage to the Devil, and of course the four-tape set, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin, which gets into much information on this same subject, and you get the two of them together at a reduced price. And then, of course, my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. You can get a VHS, 3-hour, 4-hour, 10-hour version. If you haven't seen them, you need to. DVD or video, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, a film that got the New York Film Festival Award with over 1,000 entries. This got the best film, 1,000 entries. And, of course, got the best film award. And, of course, I'm in the film, but only have a very, very small part. But, of course, we try to explain to you what's really going on today. So Joe Schimmel's new DVD, it's called The Da Vinci Con, Hollywood's War on America. That's The Da Vinci Con, Hollywood's War on America. We also would suggest Megiddo 1, Megiddo 2. There's so much out there. Please go to our website of RadioLiberty.com. Remember, we do carry the Berkey products, the Big Berkey. And if you get those things through us, why, of course, you'll get a four-tape set or video that we produced. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, because we're on the front lines of this spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Western civilization. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily, though, of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and the views of our callers. And, well, our special guest this evening is Maria Donnelly, and we're going to be talking about Agenda 21. And, of course, most people really don't understand what Agenda 21 is. Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century. It's an agenda that has been laid out for a ruling elite who gather together on the yacht of the Britannia of Prince Charles back in 1992, or at the end of 1991, and laid out a program for the world. These are people of great wealth and great power. Al Gore was there. I believe John Kerry was there. The corporate leaders and the people who control the media. And the bankers were there. And they laid out their plan for our world. And then, of course, it was presented to the Second Earth Summit meeting at Rio de Janeiro. And then came out in the form of the Biodiversity Treaty, the Desertification Treaty, and the Kyoto Protocol. And then this was, of course, to become the mind count for the world. And so our guest this evening, Maria Donnelly, really was quite unaware of many of these things until just a little over a month ago. But fortunately, she's a fast learner. Up in the Santa Rosa area where she lives, why, there has been a very, very organized effort to take away land from the people in the name of, 100-foot setbacks on either side of a stream or dry creek bed or river or doesn't really matter, creek. If you've got any sort of water on your property, why, the government's going to control 100-foot on either side of it. And when Maria heard this, why, she began studying, and she's taking a position of leadership up there in the Santa Rosa, trying to educate people about this program and about Agenda 21. So, Maria, what did you think when you first began to learn about this incredible movement?
Oh, hi, Dr. Sam. Thanks for having me. The movement was actually scary, and it was so foreign to all of us, and that we didn't even know what questions to ask when you get a notice in the mail that says, there's a planning commission meeting because your land is going to be taken. You have a little creek on it. Even if that creek runs maybe a week out of every year because the rains get a little too heavy, that constitutes a creek, and that the county wanted our property. And I thought, that is just not right. So I went to a meeting, and there were 600 of us at the first meeting, and most of them ranchers and farmers. A lot of people up here live in the country in Sonoma County. It's beautiful, and we do have a lot of creeks running through most of our properties out here, and we were appalled and we were scared, and then we knew that we had to band together and stop this because it just wasn't right. And we formed, the first night we formed a little, we call it a coalition, because we felt that that was a great way to get back at any other coalition that the Greenies may have, and we're well on our way to educating people, and I'm educating myself. We're going to fight this.
And of course the thing is that the other side is very well organized,
yes,
very, very well financed, unlimited amounts of money, and their goal is eventually to take away your property. Now, maybe you don't have a creek or a stream or a riverbed on your property, but that doesn't matter. They have something for everybody, as it were. And this evening we're going to talk about Agenda 21, the agenda, the secret agenda for the 21st century, and it is not simply in the Sonoma area. It's all over the world. This is an international plan to control the population. Well, Maria, let's go ahead, and why don't you start telling our listeners, how this whole thing works, and of course, what they're really up to.
What they're up to is unbeknownst to them, I don't know how many of them are really aware of this, on our Planning Commission and in our Board of Supervisors. What they're up to is following the higher plan of Agenda 21 that's handed down from the United Nations, that goes through our government, that we give full the full open book to these people to do whatever they want with our lives and our land, and it also it's streaming down through FEMA. It's everywhere that we look and that we see, and everything that has to do with our lives and our private property and our rights is being actually controlled by the United Nations, and it's now filtering down into our neighborhoods. And what I would like to do, I'm an absolute ordinary person. I have no background in any of this. I didn't even know this existed until a month ago, and so I'm trying to keep updated with Agenda 21 as our issues come up, and I'm now up to the water issue because that's what's coming next for us. But as I'm diving into this, I'm realizing that we are being lied to and we are being held hostage by a greater force, and that greater force is the United Nations. And those people want my water, and they can't have it. I don't know how long we can put up the good fight, but we're going to fight hard. I did some research. As I was doing my research into water rights and things like that, I came across a sentence that said that FEMA is stopping the rebuild, or is in the way of rebuilding New Orleans. And I thought, well, that's great. And I didn't understand what that was about. And I looked into it. I said, it really is. Agenda 21 is affecting everybody because FEMA is operating under Agenda 21. And if you dig into their website, I cannot map it out. Somebody in your audience knows more than I do. I followed this map somehow through the Internet and got into the FEMA website and got into a site called Appendix C, and where it's websites, and they're all about the same, pages and pages of websites on sustainable development and wetlands relocation and how to build, how to mitigate from people their land. And it was just, it's awful to know that my government, our government, is working under this plan. And along with that is the population growth that they want to stop, certain groups of the population that they would like the Agenda 21 speaks to, and the other offshoots of Agenda 21 speak to the depopulating the earth. And if you start digging deep, you really do notice that everything is connected, and they want a riparian
clutter. Hold that thought right there. Maria, I'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I'm Maria Donnelly. Of course, a month ago, really didn't have any idea what these things were about until, of course, it became obvious they were going to take away some of their land. They would be able to utilize it. They'd be able to pay taxes on it, but they couldn't use the land for 100 feet on either side of this dry creek bed or whatever it would be. And, of course, suddenly when people realize they're coming after their land, then it's a whole different subject. And so they begin researching. And, of course, when you begin to research, as Maria has, and go up on the Internet and begin punching in Agenda 21, you find out that this is a master plan. And it's not simply taking the land on either side of creeks. You mentioned they're coming after your water. On what guise or under what pretense are they trying to get your water rights away? Because, of course, your land, if you're on a well, they take away your water rights, your land is no good.
That's exactly right. When you buy property in the country, you're on wells and you have a septic system, and a lot of your property value in the country, when you're not hooked up to city water, is dependent upon your well. If you don't have a very good well, your property isn't worth as much as the guy next door who has a great well, or a better land for a longer lease length. You can have more bathrooms and things in your house. And it's so interconnected. And what the environmentalists are screaming about, and what is in our general plan, and what is in Agenda 21, is that our water resources are depleting. We don't have enough water, so therefore they can come in and they can take my water and tax me on it and meter me on it and tell me how much I'm allowed to use, shut it off whenever they feel like it, because they feel that our water resources are being depleted and it's somehow my fault. What I realized is that my well water gives me water, waters my lawn, refreshes me, and goes right back into the earth where it started from. And so it's sort of this recycling of my own water, and it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't go out the sewer lines and into the rivers and wherever city water goes. And so the attack on the rural properties and the population in the rural areas is really, well, any attack on anything is misguided, but to begin attacking the rural communities is far-fetched, unsubstantiated, and absolutely chaotic. It has nothing to do with reality. We do not, and nobody that is attached to the general plan or Agenda 21 in the long run is even speaking to that. They're making it up, and they're acting like somehow it's our fault that the water is depleted, when in fact we have a great source of water. So that part I didn't understand, and we're going to fight that one. We basically won the riparian corridor. It's a little iffy because you never know about these people, but we're going to fight the water rights also.
Now, did they sort of back down then on taking the property away? But because there was such a show of resistance.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's, these people take the path of least resistance. So the longer we fight and the harder we fight, the longer it will take them to get their way, and they will just move on to where the fight isn't as hard.
But first, they will not give up. They will be back again.
Oh,
they
absolutely.
Will be back again. They'll be back again because they have an agenda. It's called Agenda 21, and it's actually, you can go up on the Internet, you can pull it down, you can read it through, and it involves taking away your property rights, taking away your water rights. It involves, really, of course, dramatically reducing the number of people in the world, which, of course, is a part of taking away human life. It involves getting people out of their cars, and it involves doing away with agriculture as we know it, and fishing in the oceans and the rivers as we know it. It's a total transformation of society. In fact, Al Gore, who is one of the architects of this whole thing, said it best when he talked about a wretching transformation of society, and the average individual has no idea what's going on. Well, let's talk a little bit about this whole idea of getting us out of our cars. How do they want to get us out of our cars? How are they going to get us out of our cars? And what's their alternative?
Well, the alternative is obviously the bicycle or your feet, little transport carts, electric transport carts. Their goal is to get us in, as far as I can tell from my reading, their goal is to get us into little clusters, groups of populations that don't have to go very far. All of our jobs will be here, all of our schools will be here, our shops will be here, we'll be funded by the government, and we won't have a need for our car. And that will, in their agenda, but in their language, that will help our environment, and it will bring all of the wildlife back to where it was before God discovered America, and it will put us back into a place where the animals rule and the human is underneath their dominance. And that's what they want. But beyond that, they want the power that comes with that. So the disguise is because it's good for the environment, and what it is good for their power.
And I think that's exactly right. Yeah. They use all this talk about, oh, we're so concerned about the butterflies, and we're concerned about the toads, especially the three-legged long-legged toad, the endangered three-legged long-legged toad, or the endangered zayate humpback slug, or it doesn't really matter what that would be. They use this, but that's not what it's all about. It's all about power, and they really do intend to get us out of our cars. And what they are doing today is they're running up the price of oil.
Yeah.
There's no reason for a shortage of oil. They are intentionally producing this. Those of you who've gotten the material from Radio Liberty, either our 4-tape set on oil, which talks about how they've tried to get legislation through to put a cap, a floor under the price of oil, if oil got down below $25 a barrel, then it would be subsidized by the government. Why? Because in the past, any time wildcatters have gone out and tried to drill oil, why the oil companies have dropped the price so low that they bankrupted their competition. And that's how the big companies work. They don't want abundance of oil. They want shortage of oil. Shortage of oil, prices go up. Abundant oil, prices go down. You can get the book entitled The Energy Non-Crisis or our 4-tape set on gold or both of them together, and you find out there's lots of oil out there. And go up my website, radioliberty.com. We've got a couple of great newsletters on oil. That's radioliberty.com, and read our newsletters. Or you can give us a call, and we'll be glad to send them to you free of charge at 1-800-544-8927. The oil scam is just that. The oil companies made $100 billion last year. The year before that, they made $25 billion. Do you think they're happier when they make $100 billion or $25 billion? And they say, well, we're not taking advantage of anybody. And then the government invests them and investigates them, and of course the politicians. I mean, you know, we've got the finest politicians money could buy who investigated the oil companies and said, why, they're not taking advantage of the people just because they made $100 billion. I have nothing against profits. It's simply that they use their cartel to thwart competition. That's what it's really all about. They use the government and the environmental movement to thwart competition. They want to get the price of oil up. Why? Well, part for profit, but even more than that, to get you out of your car. It's all about manipulation of the individual. So don't think it's all about profit. That is a very simplistic explanation. If they can get the price up to $6 or $8 a gallon of gasoline, you are going to get out of your SUV. You're going to get out of your travel trailer or whatever it would be, or your large rig, and of course you are going to get onto your bicycle. It's all about manipulation. Did you have that feeling as you studied this, Maria?
Absolutely. It was a feeling of, as I read and the more I learn, and I have so much, such a long path ahead of me to learn and to read, that I started to feel like I was being taken hostage just in my reading, that there was this, it was scary, and it is scary, and it should be scary, because that's what will maybe motivate people and our citizens to get up and raise Cain about this. It is a feeling that I am being taken hostage and I have nowhere to run. And they want control. They want to privatize the water for profit. They want to set aside, I was all about the oil, all the profits that they made. Well, the argument when you listen to some of these financial TV shows, the argument is, well, they take half of that and they put it back into research, so you see it's all for the good of the people. And that is such a scam. And I know people are hearing that. I know that they're believing that. And I think it's our job on a grassroots level to begin not only educating ourselves individually, but everybody, one neighbor at a time, until everybody knows what's happening. And it is for power, and it is for control. And it's a terrible feeling.
What happened when you told your family about this? My understanding was that they thought you were a little daft.
They think I'm a little off the charts. But I make them listen to everything I do, and I make them read everything I read, or at least tell them where to find it. When my daughter was home one day, and I was on a certain website, Taking Liberty website, and it's you can listen to it on your computer, and I actually turned the volume up, and she started to listen to it and realize what was happening, because she thought I was a lunatic, and she started to listen to it, and then she started to get that feeling that she needs to pay attention. I have some kids in their 20s, and they're beginning to, and one of them is a homeowner, and they're beginning to take notice of what's going on. And so I'm not quite the radical I used to be, and I don't quite have the odd sort of thoughts that I used to have in their minds. I gained some credibility, which is nice. It's a shame it's around this issue, though. I mean, I see a lot of people walk blindly. They think that these, they can begin to live in perhaps gated communities side by side, or they can begin to live in these cluster homes, and they think that that's correct and good, and they don't see the bigger picture because they don't know why they're living the way they're living.
They call that sustainable communities. Yes. What they really want, of course, is multi-story places where you can shop on the first floor, work on the second floor, and live on the third, fourth, and fifth floor. And there they can watch you from morning to night with video cameras that will watch your every action. The government's already watching your financial transaction. They're recording who you actually call. This is something known as Project Echelon. In fact, recently a federal judge said, we don't elect a king, it's illegal. Well, that isn't going to disturb the people in government. They have an agenda. It's called Agenda 21. We're going to monitor everything and everybody. We'll be back in just a moment with Maria Donnelly. Well, Maria, certainly, now, what are some of the other things that are involved in Agenda 21 that you'd like to share with our listeners?
As far as I'm reading and learning, I was very upset and concerned about the FEMA actions in New Orleans That was new to me. And I think at least what happened, of course, it was awful. And then the race card started to be played. And I thought, these are people. Why would they say it was a race card? And I started to dig a little bit deeper, especially when I saw this sentence that Fatima is blocking the rebuilding of New Orleans. And then I saw on a few wildlands maps and a few Agenda 21 sites a map of Louisiana, and all of southern Louisiana is supposed to become marshland. They're supposed to take it back under Agenda 21 and bring it back into federal marshlands. And so it just so happens that the people that live along the corridors that they want the wetlands and the marshlands rebuilt is the 9th, the Jefferson Parish and the 9th District, where most of the poorer people live, and they aren't getting the insurance money, and they aren't getting rebuilt. And if they do rebuild, they have to rebuild green. And that bothered me, so I researched that a little bit more, that how can you, if you have a home, how can you, if you have no or very limited income, how can you then get government assistance to build green? It's very expensive to build green. I tried it, and it doesn't work. It's exorbitant.
By building green, you mean what?
Environmentally correct.
Is that with solar energy? Or?
Right, and certain depth of wall and a certain kind of rug you can have and a certain type of paint you can put on your wall, and your landscape has to be organic, and it's really expensive. And I don't think it does much good, but it's expensive. And they're not, so the hurricane came and they put down these new, the Planning Commission decided to have these new building guidelines and building codes, and they're all green. And they're, they have priced these poor people out of the market, and they cannot return home no matter what they do. So they've lost everything. And it is on a race card, and I heard again today and yesterday on the radio they're playing the race card again, and I don't like that, because I don't like it anyway, but what is happening is the bigger picture is the Agenda 21, and FEMA is run from Agenda 21 on the sustainable development and reclaiming marshlands, and they don't want these people back. It's the UN law that President Clinton made sure he signed into the US law that we work under now, and that's where all our building codes are going to come from, and where all our planning commissions are going to come from. And so New Orleans is basically being rebuilt under Agenda 21, and nobody is seeing that. And that's what I'm gathering from my reading. No one is seeing that, and they're still saying it's because somebody is black and somebody is poor, which could be very true if you also look at the agenda of Planned Parenthood. And I believe it is a population that is at risk. And
they've targeted the black population.
They
and
have.
People have to realize this.
They have.
And they have to understand that there is an agenda. So the Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a racist, if you read her
right.
material. And, of course, she was very close to Ernst Rüden, who has formed the Nazi movement for population control in Germany. And it was all financed by the Rockefeller Foundation. And the average individual has no idea how this fits together. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with Maria Donnelly, and welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and I just don't want this point. I just want to mention that there is going to be a meeting of the Eagle Forum now. Maria, of course, is working with Orlean Kula, and Orlean Kula heads the Eagle Forum for California and certainly Northern California chairman. And on the 16th of September, that's the 16th of September, a Saturday, they're going to be having a meeting. This is going to be in Santa Rosa, and Michael Shaw from Freedom 21 Santa Cruz will be there. I'll be there. They'll have some of the other speakers. They're going to have breakfast. But if you'd like to know more about that, you need to get hold of Orlean. And her telephone number is 707-539-8393. That's 707-539-8393. And if you didn't get the number, why, you can call us and we'll get it for you. But at 707-539-8393. And that's www.eagleforumofcalifornia.com. Eagle Forum of California is one word, .com, and we're going to be talking there about Agenda 21, the plan which so many people have never heard of, But it is the Mein Kampf. Now, why haven't you heard of it? Why, very simply, because the media is controlled in America, and most of the major media outlets are controlled by people who have this secret agenda. And it all was laid out in the Second Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, and it's been implemented then, ever since then. What's that, about 14 years they've been implementing this program. And, of course, it's going to involve markedly decreasing the population. I think it's very interesting that FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is working as a subsection of Agenda 21. I thought FEMA was all about terrorists and the wicked Osama bin Laden, and you know how we have to be protected from Osama bin Laden, but you see, reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. They're using the threat of terrorism to increase government control over every aspect of our lives. And this may very well explain why when FEMA went down to New Orleans, instead of trying to alleviate the problems, they increased it. Why many people died because of FEMA interference with people who wanted to come in and rescue the people on the roofs and rescue the people in the hospitals. And FEMA wouldn't let them in. And they wouldn't let in the supplies. And you have to ask yourself, how could they be that foolish? And they're not foolish. They know exactly what they're doing. They just want the American people to know any more than the people who are involved in Agenda 21 or the people who lead the environmental movement who are financed by the great tax-exempt foundations and the great corporations. Many times even the oil companies are financing the environmental movement that's making such a fuss about the oil companies. But you see, that's how, of course, they stifle competition, block the implementation of nuclear energy. They don't want a solution to the problem. They want the problems. So anyway, Maria, of course, as you investigate this further, and the FEMA is actually involved with the rebuilding of New Orleans. I've never heard that before.
Well, this is when I got onto. I hadn't heard it before either, and I when I researched it, I one of the articles I pulled up was by Robert Bullard. It's a 20-point plan to destroy Black New Orleans, and he gets into it a little bit and said. That the use of green and floodproofing codes restrict redevelopment. Well, that comes from directly from Agenda 21, and if you look on the FEMA website, it goes into the tools that FEMA can use to make sure that they have to replace with green buildings and green building codes. And it's just, it is impossible. It will be impossible for those people to move back to their homes the way that they knew them, especially when the higher agenda is Agenda 21, and they want that to be marshland, they want that to be controlled federal land, because it will fit in with their power base. It will also fit into their wildlands project and their corridors, biohabitat corridors that we're going to link together so that everybody can, all the little animals can roam free, and we will be clustered in tiny little villages. Or elite villages. I don't know anybody who will be an elite village, but there are going to be all the John Kerrys of the world, the Bill Clintons and the Al Gores, the Rockefellers. They are so elite and they are so out of touch with the norm and the normal taxpayer and the citizen that they have no idea and don't want any idea about reality. And so we are going to be driven by them. And I do believe that from my research and my reading that that is what is happening in New Orleans is very, very sad. And politics aside, whoever wants to scream race card, whatever their mayor is doing, all of that aside, it is absolutely being driven by the Agenda 21.
And, of course, I fear that the blacks in that area are expendable. And they've always, in fact, there's been a conscious effort to get their property away. And they're rebuilding the white areas. They're not rebuilding the black areas.
That's exactly right.
And we've talked to people down there. How could this happen by accident? And where is the cry for racial equality? Where is the Congress on racial equality and the NAACP and Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton when we need them?
Right.
We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Right now we have Mike on the line from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I want to ask Maria, if she's probably familiar with the biodiversity maps.
Oh, yes.
With all the red zones and yellow zones and blue zones. Yeah. Well, New Orleans, you may have noticed, is in a red zone.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the whole Mississippi Valley is.
Mm-hmm.
But I've just...
Could you explain to our listeners what the red zone is?
Well, on these maps, this is generated by these radical environmentalists.
But basically, the red zone is where there's no people, isn't it?
Right. The red zones and no people, only animals. They have yellow zones, which are what they call buffer zones, and some human activity allowed. And then there's blue zones, which are where they say normal use would be taking place, like, you know, we get to live there.
And in fact, many of our listeners would like to see these maps. They're in our Sustainable Development Syllabus. That's the Sustainable Development Syllabus available from Radio Liberty. You can get them on the Internet, but it's nice to have them there with all the other information. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, well, the website that I think you just referred to was Michael Kaufman's, Michael Kaufman's website. It's www.takingliberty.us. You know, what strikes me as funny, a couple of things. One is, if you look at a map now, you see wilderness areas are really few and far between, interspersed, cut up by roads and human habitat. But in these maps, it's the opposite. If you can just picture that, the human zones are few and far between.
It's
hard to explain.
What they want, Mike, is to take the world back the way it was before the evil white man came. And anybody who doubts that has only to read their report that came out of the Second Earth Summit called The Global Biodiversity Assessment. We actually have that summarized from their words in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, which we recommend. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, now these red zones, I really don't think that these rich people are really all that interested in wildlife.
No, they're interested in power, Mike.
Yeah.
It's all about power.
Well, just approaching this whole thing from the political point of view and societal change that are taking place, such as the reduction in population, you know, they really don't want all that many of us, but they still need some of us to take out the garbage and things like that.
Hold that thought. We're going to bring our other stations back on board, but I'll let you finish your thought here as soon as we get back. Okay, well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Maria Donnelly. Certainly our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you'd like to give us a call on the subject we're talking about Agenda 21, environmentalism. We've got Mike calling from Santa Cruz, who's talking about this Global Biodiversity Assessment Treaty. At first, this was almost passed by the United States Senate until somebody put together, showed the maps, the planning that they have, where most of America is going to be in wilderness. There'll be certainly some areas, transitional areas. Half the country would be in wilderness. 25% would be traditional, where people couldn't live, but they could go into it. In the wilderness, you couldn't go in at all. And then the 25% of the land in the entire America where people could be. And, of course, they really intend to take away people's property. They really intend to put corridors in and to have the majority of our land or half of our land places where the deer and the antelopes can play as they did, you know, before the wicked white man came. Because this whole philosophy is built upon an intense hatred of humanity. And you say, that's crazy talk. But the trouble is, we're not dealing with rational people. We're dealing with people like Al Gore. And if you haven't read his book, Earth in the Balance, you really need to get it and read it. And his new book on global warming is almost as factual. Mike, go ahead.
Well, now, since what we have really building politically is a feudal system, what you have in feudal systems is a whole bunch of little fiefdoms. And all the best real estate, it looks like to me, is going to these red zones. And I think that all the deputies and sheriffs and different people in the different levels of the food chain in the feudal systems are going to get to have their little kingdoms in these red zones they'll have all this fine real estate for themselves. And the yellow zones, it seems to me, really what it amounts to is a system of moats protecting the red zones, surrounding the red zones, and keeping all us the heathen out in the hinterland.
That is a great way to describe it, moats. It's so true. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it.
The boats around the feudal lord's castle, and believe me, ladies and gentlemen, there are people who want to be the feudal lords, people like the Rockefellers and certainly the Kennedys and the Gores and people. I've got nothing against a free enterprise system, but these people don't want a free enterprise system. These people want to finance the environmental movement to expand the power of government to control competition. I believe in competition. They don't. In fact, as old John D. Rockefeller said, competition is a sin, and that's why they discourage competition. They want monopoly capitalism. They really want feudalism. Anything else, Mike?
Well, I just always think that I really want the environmentalists who are working for this biodiversity system with all of their heart and soul, pouring their lives into it like nothing else matters. They need to know that what they're working toward is aristocratic system that will simply squash these environmentalists when they're done their job.
That's absolutely right. They are simply useful idiots, as it were. And they aren't even smart enough to realize that. And I hope they'll listen to our program and challenge us and ask who is financing the environmental movement. And it's the people of great wealth.
They are the useful idiots right now. They're also the essential workers, but later on they're going to be the useful feeders.
Amen. God bless. Thanks, Mike. All right, our telephone again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest is Maria Donnelly, and we're talking about Agenda 21. Go ahead, Maria. What are some of the other thoughts that you have?
The other thoughts that I have, I think as we're talking and as your listeners are out there, I think the essential thing that we need to do is to get educated. We really do need to understand where it's coming from. It's not coming from the guy next door, and it's not coming from some planning commissioner who had a bad day and decided to take my property to get back at somebody. They did not wake up with these words in their heads, and I don't know anybody who would ever think of the word out of the blue riparian corridor, they had to read it somewhere and pass it on, because I live here and I know these people, and nobody thought of that. They read it somewhere and they were told to do that, and it gives them a sense of power. And as you go up the food chain with this, and you get way up high into the Rockefellers and everybody who really is controlling this, you see the power as there's us, we'll surf, and then there's, I love the idea of moats, so I will thank Mike for that forever, moats around their property. And then you see the planning commissioners and the staff, and they're in their chairs above all the audience who's begging them not to take our property, and they're feeling all great about it. And then you go up a little bit higher, and it's the mayor, you know, who runs the city, and you see what I can do with my city, and everybody gets puffed up, and they get more powerful, and they get more power-hungry. And then people at the very top have so much money that nothing affects them. And so they look down on the earth, and they decide what they want to do with it. And I feel like a pawn on a chessboard, and they can move me wherever they want to, only we're going to fight the good fight. I know that in our little group here in Sonoma County, we have what's not going to be little for long, but our beginning group, we have a couple of very staunch environmentalists, and they won't even be conservationists. They are environmentalists, and they are now joining us because their property is at stake. And this one guy, as he said, I have this gorgeous stream in my backyard, and I keep telling people to walk on my property, get off of my property. This is mine. He said, when I realized that the government, my county, was going to open this as public land, he said, that's it. That's where he drew the line. He was no longer for the cause, their cause. He is absolutely for the rights of the property owner. And I thought that was great.
No, I think it is, and I think it's so important that we utilize this as an opportunity to educate people about what's going on. And right now, of course, we have Jeannie calling us from La Selva Beach. Hi, Jeannie. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing just dandy. And, you know, it's so good to hear someone talking about Agenda 21.
Isn't it amazing? Maria didn't know anything about it until a month ago.
Oh, she's really gotten to really fast.
She's a fast learner. Go ahead.
And you know, this is Sonoma County. And hi, Maria.
Hi, Jane.
I've been following this for many years, and of course I'm an activist in Santa Cruz. But as I understand, Sonoma County has a well ordinance that Santa Cruz County is now following.
Ooh.
And this is interesting, so I'm going to keep in touch with you guys up there.
Okay.
Because every month I go to the Water Advisory Commission meeting for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And who is actually ahead of that draft on the wells here in Santa Cruz County is the Environmental Health Department. Do you have that same department up in your Sonoma County?
I don't know, since I'm just getting involved. I am very green at this, and I appreciate the audience, and Jeannie, I appreciate your patience with me. No, I do not know that yet.
Okay, do you have metering on your wells?
No, we do not yet, and
oh,
that's what they want.
But they're trying to get it.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to connect with you guys because it connects with the World Bank water policy, too. I was going to mention, Maria and Dr. Sand, did you know in New Orleans, the California Highway Patrol, they were there in force taking the guns away from the residents. Now, you have to ask, why is our California Highway Patrol in New Orleans taking guns away?
Well, of course, they were there to protect the people out there from the government, and they're there to help.
Of course.
Okay.
And what's very important now in Santa Cruz County, Maria, is I'll be very generalized about it because there's a lawsuit coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lawsuit against the county regarding them implementing Agenda 21 and going by international law.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be coming on board in the courts. There will be a jury trial.
I love that.
And this is very big because we're trying to connect Agenda 21 with the environmental policies that they have been implementing since 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is very important in Santa Cruz County. Also, do you have a regional transportation funding task force? They're trying to get workshops for more money for transportation, like transit and so forth, up in Sonoma.
That's a huge deal. That's becoming a huge deal up here and is just coming to the surface. They're trying to put a smart train in.
Oh, yes.
To go nowhere.
The smart train. In fact, the funniest thing, here they're talking in our area about putting, this rail line in. It's going to go about, maybe 6 miles or 10 miles,
mm-hmm.
I suppose. And they're saying, well, we'll be able to finance it by carrying freight from Capitola to Aptos. Now, people who don't know our area, but this is a distance, about 6 miles, they're going to finance this by carrying freight from Capitola to Aptos. I mean, how stupid do they think the people are? And the answer is pretty stupid. They're going right along with this, and they don't understand that they lie. They have an agenda. They want to get us out of our cars, and they want to get us into our bicycles. This is a worldwide program, and
well,
we really want to eliminate most of the people in the world.
Well, actually, on this transportation funding task force, they have a consultant coming in, Apex Strategy, and her name is Eileen Goodwin. Do you realize the county pays her $175 an hour plus expenses? I went down to their office and pulled her contract, which most people can do on the consultant.
Mm-hmm.
You just go to the agency and you pull the contract. And they have given her, over the years, it's about 3 or 4 years, over $200,000.
She must be awfully, awfully good.
Well, she has a wand and she's a fairy godmother. I'm not kidding. At the facilitation workshop, she has a wand and she wands it around in the air. And they treat us like children at the consensus workshop.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing. It is so out of control. I believe you that she has a wand.
Anyway, thank you so much for calling.
Okay,
thank you for being on,
Maria. And I'll touch base with you.
I'll give my phone number out in a minute.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. In fact, why don't you go ahead and give your phone number out right now?
Okay, the phone belongs to the Sonoma County Land Rights Coalition, and I have not gotten the voicemail set up, but I will do that before tomorrow. And our phone number is 707
318-9142.
Now, you have to, first thing you learn on radio is you always give the number twice.
Okay. I'll do it again, slowly.
Go ahead.
707-318-9142.
Okay. Find anything else, Jeannie, before we let you go?
Thanks.
God bless.
Great. I'll talk to you.
Bye-bye. Now let's go to Terry, who's calling from Sun Valley. Hi, Terry. How are you doing?
Oh, fine, Dr. Sam.
Are they, you have the same problems up there in Sun Valley?
No, but one of the biggest cases I've been discussing in L.A. is a couple of border agents who are going to trial for shooting at an escaping drug dealer.
They've already been convicted of that.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
And I was wondering, does the U.N. play a part in how the border is being handled right now?
No, I think if you want to put it directly, it's George Bush who wants to discourage anybody from doing their job. That's the tragedy.
Does Agenda 21 play any part in the Polish border, or is that something perhaps different?
You're talking about, you know, this is basically an agreement that that was made between George Bush and Vicente Fox and Paul Martin in March 23rd of last year, 2005, where they agreed simply to unite the three countries together into the North American community, and we'll unite our police force, and we'll do away with the borders, and people can migrate around as much as they want to, and the Mexicans, people can come up here and get full welfare benefits, and we can go down there and just try to get welfare benefits in Mexico. But this is part of this whole move towards world government, and it is an organized effort. That's what's really behind all of this, is a world fascist system under world government control. But, no, I don't think that the United Nations is responsible for that. This terrible tragedy of these two officers, they've been decorated, and they were simply shot in the buttocks a drug individual, a drug pusher, who was trying to swim back across the river. And, of course, they were convicted because they dared to try to capture a bad guy.
That same drug dealer before this was given amnesty, and his record has been expunged because he was then captured days before this trial. He was captured again with 1,000 pounds of drugs on him. So there was a big deal made of that.
But now he's going to get amnesty, and now he's suing the...
Yes, he is suing.
He's suing the Border Patrol, and they're going to send these guys to jail for 20 years.
Wow.
For doing their job. No man's life or our family are safe until we get these things exposed here. And I hope you get people listening to our program, and that's such an important issue. But they sent a lot of innocent people to jail for doing their job.
That case is one of the most heartbreaking I have ever heard. It's such an injustice, and I cannot believe in my United States of America that is happening.
Okay, anything else, Terry?
No, just a sad state of affairs, but there's still hope, though.
Oh, sure.
There are people working for them, and I wish I knew the website. I heard it this morning, actually, on the radio. They have a website.
Friends
of the Border Patrol, yes.
Yeah, and, of course, what this is aimed at is demoralizing everybody in the Border Patrol.
It's happening around the country. Border Patrol agents north, south, east, and west are very concerned about it, even in Puerto Rico.
Right, they should be. But the thing is that we have to be the ones that we've got to get the people out of Washington, D.C., and the tragedy is the leaders of the Democrat Party are just as corrupt
Absolutely.
As the leaders of the Republican Party. And they've all sold their souls, and believe me, they have sold their souls.
Thank you, Dr. Sam.
Good night. God bless, Terry. Okay, fine. Well, that was Terry calling from Sun Valley. And our telephone number, and we have time for one more call. Somebody's already on the line, so we'll see who it is. And our guest this evening is Maria Donnelly. And Maria has only been at this for a month. You've certainly got quite an education in a month's time. You must have been spending all your time on the Internet.
My house isn't very clean, if that's a hint.
That's all right. What you're doing is so vitally important. As more and more people begin to understand what's going on, maybe we can head off the terrible things that lie ahead. And, of course, we're talking not only about Agenda 21. We're talking about the planned war in the Middle East and the implications of that and of course, the invasion of people from south of the border. The Mexicans are not bad people. What we ought to be doing is trying to improve their lot at home. people have forgotten that it was forces in America that brought about the revolution there in the 1930s that led to the impoverishment of the people down in Mexico and depriving them of any chance of, you know, getting ahead. But don't you worry. The leaders of our country have a plan, and that is they want to raise our living standards to that of the Mexican peasant. And if we don't do something, if we don't get involved, if we're not willing to commit ourselves, then we will lose what we have. And, of course, even more than our wealth and our freedom may very well be our lives. But behind everything are powerful, powerful spirits of forces. Our job is to expose what's going on and help people to understand the true nature of what's taking place. So we'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Maria, you have 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Now, I know you were a little ill at ease when we went on this afternoon, but you did great, and you're even doing better this evening. I'm sure next time we talk to you, why, I won't even get a chance to say a word.
Maybe my book will be published. And no, that's not true. I do appreciate this airtime, and I know that it really, for your listeners, it's not going to stop there. I know that all of us have a voice that are anywhere near it, on the lowest level involved in this. We all have a voice, and we can start talking to our neighbors like I did, and we can start getting on the Internet and finding out exactly what's happening and what we can do to stop it, or at least hedge it off for the time being. I don't know that we can ever stop the great machine of the UN, but we can at least live our lives productively and with integrity. And that's how we have to approach this.
And our job is to do our best, because I really believe, having been at this battle for 44 years now, mm-hmm. that this is a spiritual battle, and there are powerful spiritual forces which are energizing this entire movement, and whether it be Agenda 21, whether it be the immigration movement, whether it be what's going on in our Supreme Court, or whether it is the coming war in the Middle East, it all fits in together, and we have a job. We have the opportunity, we have certainly the Internet now, a wonderful means of reaching people. We just have to do one thing, and that is make people understand that they are involved. In this battle, there's no place in the middle. It's sort of like George Bush said, you're either with us or you're with the terrorists. And I would like to say, you're either with us or you're with the people who created so much of this terrorist movement, who financed it, who are using it to justify taking away our freedom. So our job is to make people evaluate everything and understand when they talk about their concern for the Zayati humpback slug, or for the three-toed tortoise. All of this is simply a vehicle to take away your property rights. They're not interested in these little critters. They're interested in controlling you. Maria, I want to really thank you so very much for being
with
us.
And
I look forward to perhaps having a chance to see you on the 16th of September at that meeting up there. Maybe you can drop by.
I will definitely come to meet you, and I do appreciate the time.
Good night, and we're hoping maybe we can get you back on again. If you have something important, Arlene will put you in touch with me.
She will. Thank you very much.
Good night. God bless.
Good night.
All right, fine. Well, I hope our listeners out there enjoyed. Maria has only been at this for a month. She was frightened to death this afternoon when she was going to come on, and she did a great job this afternoon for our Genesis program. She did a great job tonight. And understand that they intend to control the water and the air. They're going to get you out of your car, and they may very well kill your family. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every single working day. And that's, of course, and then, of course, the weekends we have a half-hour program that's heard on about 30 stations. But quite frankly, we need your help. So if you'd like to become part of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we also ask our listeners to give serious consideration to going to our website at RadioLiberty.com and pull down the various items we have. On this subject, we have a sustainable development syllabus. And there you have the Global Biodiversity Assessment agenda, and it's summarized. You'll have the World Bank Water Policy, and you'll have the Earth Charter, and you'll have certainly material on the Georgia Guidestones and Marie Strong and certainly Barbara Marx Hubbard, her book that she wrote, where she actually talks about the necessity of killing a quarter of the world's population, and says, "That is not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse, death. That is not your job, my dear. That is ours, for we are the riders of the pale horse, death." We have the original manuscript. We offer that to people who'd like to actually see it. This was a book she wrote. And when it was republished under the sponsorship of the Lawrence Rockefeller Endowment for the Humanities, they took that part out because they don't want people to understand the Rockefeller family's been involved in the occult and the demonic for years, because this is what energizes these people who are moving towards the New World Order and the New World Religion. We hope many of you will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or the video or DVD. And if you'd like to buy them in bulk, why, we'll be glad to get a special price for you. We need your help to get the information out, and this is a good place to start. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. One of the most important things you can do right now is to get people to understand that what they think they saw on September 11th didn't take place. Nothing you saw that day was real. Our telephone number, if you'd like, of course, to get the information on that, you need to get our pamphlets. There are three of them. They're called Foreknowledge 911, Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. They're very economical, all three of those pamphlets together. You need to get our three pamphlets on the occult hierarchy that rules the world. And there really is an occult hierarchy. They brag about it. They call it the Great White Brotherhood, or the Elder Brothers, or the Spiritual Hierarchy, or simply the Brotherhood. You need to get those three pamphlets. Actually, one of them was written by Dr. Dennis Cuddy. I wrote the other two. And then, of course, we need to actually get the other information out. We have a pamphlet on the history of money. We have a pamphlet that says, "We Are a Republic." We have one on genetic engineering. All of these are compilations of our newsletters. Now, you can go up on our website and pull down the newsletters for nothing at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. But the pamphlets are just handy. I keep them right with me, so I can just reach over and pick them off anytime. We encourage you to copy any of our 4 tape sets or videos we've made, as long as you don't make a profit from them. We want you to get them out, and we want you to copy them right. Copy them correctly, get the information out. Tell others about what's going on, and try to get them involved with us in this epic struggle to determine whether this nation or any nation under God can long endure. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, RadioLiberty.com. We do carry the Berkey products. We carry health products, and you need to have a good supply in, because, believe me, if we get into World War III, you're not going to have access to these things. Think about getting a supply. If you'd like our health catalog, give us a call. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty.
Good morning and welcome to the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley. Dave Von Kleist is not joining us today. I'll tell you why after the break. Had an interesting time in Los Angeles. Maybe not what you think, but well worth mentioning, I have to tell you. Yes, it has been an interesting weekend. If you've been watching television, I feel sorry for you because you probably are just wondering which end is up. If you haven't been watching television, I will give you a little bit of the heads up on the news. And the reason we do this is because it keeps you from having to watch it, and yet it lets you know where the agenda is going. And I do say that knowing full well that television now is not about news, as we all know. It is about what they want you to think. And I cannot stress that enough. This hour, we will be talking about the news. In the second hour, we will be talking about a document that made it all come together for me. I read it this weekend. I reread it, wanting to understand why we are hearing the kind of news we're hearing, what is taking place amongst the countries to create this kind of a